John chapter 1, starting in verse 22 and through 23, and you can join me as we read God's word together. So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in the midst of all our planning, in the midst of all that we desire, you are sovereign over all things. And we thank you that even in chaos, you reign supreme. Even in our best efforts, Lord, many times we're trying to be who we're not. And so today I pray, God, that you would open up our eyes to understand who you are and who we are, that we might be able to walk with a greater joy in this life. And Lord, that we might give you the glory that you're due. I pray, Lord, that you would please fill me afresh with your Spirit, that I might preach under the leading and anointing of your Spirit. And God, that you would please feed your sheep today as you're so faithfully, as you so faithfully do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to say this anyway. We have some friends today. You know, Cyrus and Irina? Well, Irina's mom and dad are here. They're right there. If you get a chance, go. They got some great testimonies of God's goodness in their lives from Russia and just incredible testimonies of God's greatness. So if you get a chance, I put you on the spot. I'm sorry I didn't tell you I was going to do that, but I know you give glory to God with all your life. So, you know, when my kids were younger, a lot younger, we used to take drives, you know, when you have those long drives, so you got to put something in, you know, whether it was a VCR, for those of you that are older, whatever it might be. But we had these audio tapes, and maybe some of you used these. Do you remember Jungle Jam and Friends? Anybody remember Jungle Jam and Friends? It's great stuff. If you have young kids and it's still available, it's wonderful. What it is they teach you life lessons, moral lessons, and some things about the scripture, but it's really about just life. And what happens is the setting is in a jungle, and it's all these different animals, and they interact, right? And they teach you a lesson. And there's people like Gruffy the Bear, some of you will remember these, Sully the Aardvark, Millard the Monkey. There was Nozzles the elephant, there was a giraffe, there were all kinds of animals. And I will never forget one particular episode, because the animals decided they didn't like who they were. So they were going to become, they wanted to be something else. So the elephant decided they wanted to be really good at climbing trees. And then the flying squirrel wanted to learn how to swim. And what happened was, is all these different animals tried to be who they weren't, okay? And what it led to was a lot of frustration and obviously ineffectiveness. How good can an elephant climb a tree? So it was a wonderful lesson on, you know what? You are who you are. Rest in that. And when you live according to who you are, you're going to find more joy in life. And, you know, we sometimes say this. We try to put a square peg in a round hole. That's kind of what they're talking about. And one of the things I'm finding about this is, as we were reading through John, the Gospel of John, we see John the Baptist. And, you know, here's a guy who understood who he wasn't and understood who he was. And what that did was that helped him to live joyfully and help him to be effective in his witness. So God's Word, John chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed. That's interesting right there. He confessed, he did not deny, he confessed. In other words, there's an emphasis here on what he's saying. "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not. Are you a prophet?" And he answered, "Nope. That's not who I am." Let me give you a little background about what was happening. God was doing something through the ministry of John the Baptist. Hundreds, maybe thousands of people were being baptized, right? And the Jews were upset. They wanted to find out, what's going on? What's this guy, you know, what's he saying? What's he doing? And so what they did was they were basically jealous. They didn't care about his doctrine necessarily, but they were jealous. And they were also arrogant because they didn't go themselves. They sent priests. And the reason being is if they would have gone themselves, it would have somehow given a sense of, yes, this is a legitimate ministry. So instead, out of their pride, they send the lower guys, you know. Go find out who this John the Baptist is. So they sent these guys out. And what was happening here was they asked these questions, and they're giving John an opportunity to get some power, to get some, reputation. He could say the right things, and if he does, then maybe they'll, you know, give him a seat. The world many times will give us opportunity to esteem ourselves more than what we ought. Boy, you're such a good preacher. Oh, you're such a great parent. Oh, you're such a, you know, and we like, oh yeah, I am kind of, aren't I? Woo. You know, and so what happens is the world gives us that opportunity to exalt ourselves rather than point to what Christ has done in our lives. And so this was a picture of now the enemy's coming in and saying, hey, John, aren't you this? Aren't you this? Aren't you this? Would have been very easy to say, yeah, I am in the form of Elijah. But he didn't. He didn't. Instead of viewing himself highly, John viewed himself rightly. He knew who he wasn't, and he knew who he was. And because of that truth, he was able to put his hope in the coming Messiah. God was doing something here. It was incredible. If you notice, John doesn't respond to their question the way they asked it. Who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. That's not what they asked him. What we see here is that John knew the essence of their question. He knew what they were asking because there was a stirring that was happening right then at that time. We'll read about it shortly, but what we see is this, is that the Jews thought that the Messiah was coming. And so they were seeing what was happening, and they read into who they thought John was. And so what we find is John answers the question they were asking without them asking it directly. And their response then was, well, then are you Elijah? Are you Elijah? So in other words, okay, if you're not the Christ, then maybe you're Elijah. And it keeps going down. Well, if you're not Elijah, then maybe you're a prophet. Giving, you know, well, if you're not this guy, maybe this. Prophets are still a pretty good label for a Jew at that time. He says, no, I'm not Elijah, but let me ask you. If you've studied Scripture, doesn't that seem to contradict Scripture? Because didn't Jesus say that Elijah has come and it was John the Baptist? Didn't the angel who visited John's mom and said, oh, by the way, you're pregnant, and he is the one that Scripture talks about, a voice in the wilderness? And John says, no. What was going on here? Take a look at God's word, Matthew chapter 1, or Malachi. Here's the quote. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. So I'm sending someone ahead of time. So that was the prophecy. And then we see Luke, and this is the angel talking to John the Baptist's mom, telling her, you're pregnant. Remember, because her and her husband could not get pregnant. So he's now saying, you're pregnant, and here's what's going on. He will go before him. He, meaning John the Baptist, will go before him, meaning the Christ, in the power, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So that's what the angel says to him. Now, later in Matthew, we see this. This is Jesus speaking in both of these. Matthew chapter 11, verse 13. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Is there a contradiction here in Scripture? And then it goes on in 17. But I tell you that Elijah has already come. This is Jesus speaking. And they did not recognize him, But did to him whatever they pleased, so also the Son of Man will certainly suffer in their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. Is that a contradiction in Scripture? No. John is speaking to the Jews. Here's what the Jews thought. Go back into the Old Testament, do your own study. What happened with Elijah? You remember? He never died. Elijah, a fiery chariot came down. Elijah hops in it and takes off. And so the Jews at that time believed that Elijah in the flesh was going to come back. They thought the Elijah was going to come back and proclaim the coming of the Christ. So when John says, no, I'm not Elijah, he was addressing their false belief that no, I am not Elijah in the flesh. At the same time, he was Elijah in the spirit. In other words, that same spirit of bold proclamation talking about the coming of God. That's what Jesus said. He's saying, yeah, you know, they're waiting for Elijah, but he's already come, the spirit of Elijah. They're looking for Elijah, but he's not coming. So the answer to that question is, was he Elijah? Yes and no. Yes and no. That's why he can say, no, I'm not Elijah. And later Jesus says, Elijah's already come. So you see what I'm, just a little history in the Word of God and how that could be, because sometimes people say, oh, I found a contradiction in the Word of God. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You have to understand the culture at that time. John the Baptist knew who he wasn't, which helped him to clarify who he was. He knew who he wasn't, so this helped him now understand more about himself, who he was. I am not the Christ. I am not a supernatural miracle worker like Elijah. I'll tell you what I am. I am simply a voice in the wilderness, the voice of a sinner. That's who I am. Take a look at God's word again. John, we're continuing on with this. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Another opportunity for John to say, well, I'm the one sent before. All the prophecies and Malachi. I'm the guy. Yeah. So they're saying, listen, these people sent us and you haven't answered our question, so you tell us who you are then. And John responds. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? You're doing something you shouldn't be doing. John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. And then there's the Elijah prophecy. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for God. He's saying, you know what? What John is coming to is this. He says, you know what? Here's what I am. I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. That's what I am. I'm a sinner. I need grace and mercy just like you do. That's what I am. And what we don't understand is this. Okay, again, you see just what God had done in this man, John the Baptist, because it was a work of God. When we have humility or other things, it's a work of God in our lives. And what we see is this. What was considered the lowest of the low things that anybody could ever do is wash the feet of their master. That was the worst. John is saying this. I'm even more unworthy than that. I'm not even worthy to untie the sandals and then wash the feet. I'm not even worthy to do the first part. Wow. That's the picture we see here in the Gospel of John about this man, John the Baptist. That's why we can say that those beliefs that he had, that he understood who the Messiah was, that he understood who he was, a desperate sinner in need of grace and mercy just like everybody else. That was reflected in his message, what he preached to people, and in what was known, if you read throughout the Gospels, John's was a baptism of repentance. A baptism of repentance. And that was really, really offensive to the Jews. That's what was happening here. See, they were upset with John because John was of the priestly tribe, so he could have technically been a part of what the high priests and all these guys were a part of, but he was not. He said, no way, I don't want a part of that, even though he could have been. He said, I don't want that because I'm not going to exalt myself. I'm going to point towards the Christ, as it says here in John. And what we find is that the Jews were offended because John was doing something. Who are you to baptize people? Who do you think you are? But it was offensive by the very fact that John was baptizing Jews. And here's again, we're 2,000 years later and we don't get the culture, we don't get Judaism, we don't understand all that. So we can't understand how these people could be so upset with John. Why do they want him dead? What's going on? Why? Here's a snapshot. What the Jews believed is the fact that just being a Jew and keeping the law was sufficient to save you. Remember a couple of weeks when we were talking about you are a child of God, not by the blood? Remember that? That was because the Jews thought that they were automatically in with God because they were Jews. They were born Jews, born of the blood. So they said, okay, we're in because we're Jews. So a Jewish mindset was, we are made right with God because we're Jews. We're his chosen nation. We're in. We're right with God. And so what they did was then they would proselytize the Gentiles. And they'd say, hey, you need to become a Jew if you want to be saved. And so what would happen is one of the rituals they used in order to identify a Gentile coming into Judaism was baptism. Remember, with the Jews, it was circumcision. But with here, it was baptism is how a Gentile would be considered part of Judaism and quote-unquote saved. And why this was so offensive. Now, if you picture this, what John the Baptist is doing is he's treating Jews like Gentile sinners in need of a Savior. That got them so mad. What? You're baptizing Jews? We're already saved. Isn't that the way the religious community can be? I was raised a Christian. I'm in. That's what some people believe. Well, my mom and dad. My dad's a pastor. I'm in. No. It's not by blood. And so we see here a picture that was offensive to the Jewish religious leadership. And they struggled against it, just like so many times religious people will even in today's world. You know, I'm in because of the things I do. I'm a deacon, I'm an elder, I'm whatever it might be in a church. And it's not about that. It's about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. John got that. Oh, I'm a prophet, I'm in. He said, no, I'm just a sinner. Desperate need of grace and mercy and forgiveness. That's who I am. See, John got it. John got his head around that. And when you look at John and his ministry, His relationship with God, what was happening here, his spirituality, we'll use that term, was not evidenced by mighty signs. John didn't raise anybody from the dead. He didn't heal any sick that we know of. We don't know. All he did was preach a gospel that totally did not fit their time because of what he was saying to the Jews, but certainly wouldn't be a comfortable message to be preached in today's pulpits in many churches. Repent! The Messiah is coming. He's got a winnowing fork. Be ready. So what we see here is John is preaching this gospel and he didn't have all the signs to prove his spirituality, but he had this message that was uncomfortable. He had humility that God was working in him, and he had faith. He had faith. What we find is this. His humility, as I said, was displayed in his verbal response. No, 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 no. No way. I am not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. Well, then surely you must be Elijah. Oh, no, 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 no. Okay, so we'll get him to exalt himself here. And you can just see the enemy's plan. Oh, no, that didn't work. Well, we'll drop it down a couple notches. Oh, so you're Elijah. No, 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 I'm not Elijah. Okay, so we'll drop it down, but we'll still give him a chance to exalt himself. You're a prophet then. Oh, no, no, I'm not even that. You see his humble response, but you also see that he didn't go for the opportunity to exalt himself, to say, hey, this is who I am. Isn't that great? I'm the one that was promised in the Old Testament. Me. I'm the guy. Did you know an angel came to my mom? Talked to her? Yeah. Said I was the guy. Wouldn't we be tempted to do something like that? To take God's glory? I mean, come on. That's the world we live in. That's my sin, my flesh. I desire a claim. And we pursue that. And yet John said no, because God had worked something into him. So this was a sign of his spirituality, we'll say. And the third area was his faith. You say, what faith did he extend? Faith in what? This man lived a very short life, when you consider it. His mom was pregnant when an angel sent Mary over to talk to her. And John, in his mother's womb, leapt when his mother saw Mary. He wasn't much older than Jesus. And what we see is this. He had a short life, but what did he spend his life doing? He spent his life talking about someone who was there who he didn't know who he was yet. Yet he's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the one coming. He's going to be our Savior. That's faith, brothers and sisters. He didn't know it was Jesus. He had no idea it was Jesus. He just knew that God had spoke to his heart and said, there's one coming. You are sent before the Messiah. Do you believe that? And God in his grace and mercy gave John the faith to believe that. That yes. And so he went and he preached, the Messiah is coming. The Christ is coming. He's walking among us right now. We don't know who he is, but he is here. And he is the one that the scripture talks about. Brothers and sisters, that is faith. That is faith. Saying he's coming and my hope is in him. Don't have your hope in me. I'm just a guy. Put your hope in the coming Messiah. He's here. Beautiful picture. And you know what's really crazy? Is when we read in John chapter 1, we read John's response, and then you continue in the next verse, and it says, and the next day, Jesus came forward. And God revealed who the Christ was. Take a look at God's word. Luke chapter 3, we're going to go back. Okay, you have the different testimonies in the Bible, the four different Gospels. Take a look at Luke chapter 3. As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ. Remember I said earlier, there was a stirring going on in the community, Jewish community, that, hey, is the Messiah here? Yeah, and I think it's John the Baptist. So there's all this chitter-chatter underneath the surface. And John had probably heard it. So now he's going to address it. Going to directly address it. Whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations he preached good news to the people. That is not the type of gospel we hear today, is it? But it is the gospel. And it goes on. Look at John chapter 1. This is following, right after what we read. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. For this is he of whom I said, after me comes one who ranks before me. We use this first one when we're talking about how Jesus is eternal. And John is here saying, he came before me. Wait, he was born after you in the Jewish mind. No, he was before me. He's eternal. This is the Savior who comes before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him. What? Wait a second. Time out. This is John the Baptist's cousin, Jesus. How did he not know him? Of course he knew him. John the Baptist knew his cousin, Jesus. It wasn't anything new here. What he didn't know was that Jesus was the Messiah. That was just his cousin Jesus. Remember, up till this point, Jesus hadn't, there's no miracles recorded that Jesus did. Jesus was just the average guy. Remember, as we read on and people find out that Christ is the Messiah, and they go, "Whoa, whoa, time out, time out. That's Joe's kid. You know, the carpenter Joe? That's Jesus. He's not the Messiah. He's just Jesus. Come on, I remember when he was a little pup growing up. That he can't be the Messiah." And John, as his cousin, grew up with him, hung out with him, did things together with him. That's why he can say, "I didn't know him. I didn't know he was the Messiah. I knew him personally, but I had no idea he was the Messiah until that day." Because God had communicated. We're going to talk about this next week, about baptism. How God had communicated to John, "The one you see this happen to, that's Messiah." And the next day, after John said, "We don't know who he is," the next day Jesus shows up and says, "Baptism." And the Father speaks from heaven and the dove descends and boom. Exciting. So what happens is he said, "Listen, he showed up. After me comes one who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came. I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel." Wow. Exciting, exciting. John knew who he was and knew who he wasn't. And that helped him put his trust in the coming Messiah. God had worked that in him. Faith is a gift from God. God has to open up our hearts. I will continue to pursue our own desires, our own lusts. We will continue to push God away. But God, in his kindness, opens up our hearts. And he grants us the faith to believe. Things that were always there, that we always saw, why didn't they make sense before? And suddenly they do. Because of God. John knew he wasn't the Christ or Elijah, no matter how much others wanted him to be. They wanted him to be the Messiah. People were saying, "He must be it." That's why humility is essential, to have a correct view of yourself. We need humility to really understand who we are. You know, intellectually we know we're not all sufficient. We're not all powerful. We're not all knowing. We're not all present. But many times we act like we are. You know, we know the best for everyone. Why? Because we're omniscient. We know the best. We know what's best for this person or that person. Clearly they don't know. They just need to ask me. Why? Because I'm me. We know intellectually, but our heart desires the acclaim. Our hearts desire to walk in that. Well, clearly, if you just ask me, I could tell you what's right. And we carry it over into our parenting and into where our work and other ways where we try to be who we're not. Parents, we think somehow we can protect our kids from all harm. I'm telling you right now, you can't, because you are not omnipresent. You are not omnipotent. Let me give you an example in my own life where God just rushed this to me. Remember a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago, there was a shooting in Onalaska? It was a drive-by shooting. There was somebody who drove past the house and fired a couple rounds into the house, and then the people in the house fired a couple rounds outside of the house. Right? Happened about a month ago. Do you know where that was? It was in Onalaska. Exactly across the street from where that happened, one of my sons lives. Okay? That's not the end of the story. The very week that that happened, my other son, my youngest son, was getting ready to move into the same house. So what does omniscient dad think? "You can't move there." Why? "I got to protect my boy." Listen, these are young men. I get that. Those of you that have older kids that can understand this, they're always your boys and your girls. Right? But see, I'm going to protect him. I'm going to protect my boys. God just said, "No, you can't, Dan. You can't. But I'm gonna." "No, no, you're not. Do you trust me, Dan? Do you trust me to be who I am for you? Do you trust me? Do you believe all those things you preach? That I am sovereign. I'm determining every path of every raindrop outside. Do you believe that, Dan? Do you believe that I will take care of the situation? Even though it doesn't come out the way you think it should. And you see, I had to come to that place where, who am I? I am a sinner, saved by grace, who cannot control the world around me. That's God's job. But I can be who God has created me to be. I can be a loving parent. I can be a pastor, fractured and frail and is messed up. You should have been here the first service. It's a great example of how I was in desperate need of God's grace. And so what happens is this. We know intellectually we're not those things, yet we live like we are. And we get angry when people don't believe or do what we want them to do. Why? Because we know what's best. And in essence, we're saying, God, you're messing up. Just ask me. This is the direction the church has to go, or this is the direction this has to go. Why? Because I know. Really? Now, it doesn't mean we don't pursue holiness and discipline and things like that in our lives. Okay? But we have to come to a place where we put our hope and our trust in Christ. And we rest in Him. Ryan talked about that last week, finding our rest in Christ. And so we pursue these things, and where does it lead us? Where does it lead us? It leads us to fear. What happens if they come by again and fire guns? It leads us to anxiety and depression, and it leads us to unbelief. Where are you, God? Why did you do this? You didn't do what I thought you should have done. You're questioning God's very character. And you're saying basically, I know better, God. That's what we're doing. And the end result is this frustration and anger and depression. Maybe next time when you're going through those things, you need to step back and say, am I trying to be who I'm not here? Am I trying to control the situation? Am I trying to do these things? Because that's not who I am. I can't be that. And sometimes people put these expectations on you. Your children put them on you. Your employer puts them on you. People put expectations upon you that you cannot meet. And we strive to meet them. We're going to white knuckle it. We're going to get it done because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to prove everybody that I can do it. Yeah, just have Dan come when there's a lost neighbor. Let's invite him to the party. He'll share the gospel and they'll all get saved. In pride, you go, yeah, man, I am pretty good at that. What? That's arrogance. That's sin on my part. And I'm not that. And I don't lead it. It's got to be God drawing the lost. But you see what I'm saying? We draw into that. We think somehow we're the one that can do it, or we put expectations on others. My spouse has to be perfect. Your spouse can't be perfect because they're a sinner like you are. They can't be perfect. And you can't be perfect for them. Only Jesus can do that. Doesn't mean we don't strive to. But we do it with God's grace and God's mercy. What the gospel does is it informs and reshapes a Christian's identity. It tells us who we are. We know we're not this. We know intellectually we're not this. And yet our heart desires to do these things, to strive to be this. What did Satan say to Adam and Eve? You remember that? You'll be like God. Knowing good from evil. He hasn't stopped his ploy in all these years. You know better. The gospel informs and reshapes a Christian's identity into who we are in Christ. Who are we in Christ? Who are you in Christ today? Who are you? I'm not this, Dan. I know that, intellectually at least, and I struggle with this battle. But who are we? Take a look. This is what Scripture says. It says this, that if you're a believer today, if you're a Christian today, it says that you are justified and completely forgiven. That's who you are. You are completely forgiven. That's part of who you are. You are forever free from condemnation or punishment. The penalty was paid by Christ on the cross. All your sins are covered under the blood of Jesus. And there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ. That's who you are. That's who you are. So when the enemy lies and says, no, You say, no, this is who I am. It goes on, you're God's adopted child. Isn't that sweet? You're God's adopted child. And you're loved by God. You're loved by God. Now, right now, at this moment. You don't know what I did last night. You don't know what I did this morning. I know what Scripture says you are. You are loved. Period. It's not about your performance. You're a new creation right now. Not in the future. You're a new creation. Do you believe that? Do you believe that sin has no power over you? Because that's what Scripture says you have, you are. It goes on. You're complete in Christ. You are God's workmanship. He's painting a picture of your life. You're God's workmanship. You possess every spiritual blessing. Do you believe that? That's who you are. You possess it. I read in my devotion this morning, a lady who was going to pray for rain because it wasn't raining, and by faith she took her umbrella because she wanted to receive the Lord's blessing. She trusted God. Do you really believe God wants to bless you? Or are you one of those Christians who say, oh, well, not me, Dan. I'm unworthy to untie his shoe. Well, that's true, but you're also the child of the King. Do you realize that? And God's got blessings for you. Now listen, that doesn't mean a bunch of cash in your account. It's the things that matter. God will not withhold any good thing from you. Something he determines is a good thing, not you. Because why? He's God, you're not. You're a co-worker with God. Those are all true. There's more things that are true about you, who you are in Christ. Go into the Word of God. Search Scripture. Realize that your worth and your value and your dignity are not in your performance. They're not in your performance. They're in Christ. Your worth is in Christ because He is your joy and your delight. He is your Savior. He is your King. All of your worth, your value, and your delight are in Christ, not your performance. Isn't that freeing? Isn't that freeing? Jesus is for you what you need. Let me ask you, are you trying to be someone you're not? Have you forgotten who you are in Christ? If so, maybe that's the reason why you're frustrated and angry or discouraged. Search the Scriptures and find out who you really are. And the result will be this: true freedom that produces joy in your life. Man, this is true about me. And what will happen is this: it will have an effect on your witness for Christ. Because people say, how are you like that? How can you relax when something like this is happening? You say, hey, you know what? It ain't about me. I'd be freaking out just like anybody else. But it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. He gives me this peace that I have. I can't explain it. And when we can walk like that, when we can understand who we're not and who we are in Christ, and we walk in that, and our joy increases, and our witness to the gospel to others increases. You know what that does? That glorifies God. That brings Him glory. Brothers and sisters, it's not about our performance. It's about who Christ is for us. And let's rest in that and find our joy in that as we seek to honor God, as we know who we aren't and who we are, and ask God for the grace to live in that understanding. Let's pray. Lord, we stand in awe of you today. We worship you, Lord Jesus, that in this place, in this world where it keeps trying to push us to exalt ourselves, we want to focus and put the limelight on you, Lord. God, help us to understand who we're not and who we are in Christ, so that we might walk in a way that brings us joy and brings you incredible glory. And God, we pray this in Jesus' beautiful and glorious name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship Jesus. Amen.